So we're picking up, we are in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, and we are picking up from Halacha Tes, Sif Tes, in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph. So it says like this in the Shulchan Aruch, Tzarech Shetehe HaMapa Al HaShulchan Tachas HaPas. There needs to be a tablecloth on the table, not just in order to look nice and to look fancy, but in order to be a covering underneath the pas, underneath the bread. Umapa acheres prusa al gabov, and another tablecloth, another mape on top of the bread, which means that the challah ends up being covered on the top and the bottom. This is what the Shulchan Aruch tells us right here in the middle of Hilchos Kiddush. Certainly mashma here in the Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to have the challah on the table when you make Kiddush. The truth is, this is a very big debate. The Gemara in Psachim, you don't really sense this in the Shulchan Aruch here, but the Gemara in Psachim, in Arvei Psachim, the Gemara there says that everybody agrees that you should really not have the challah on the table until after Kiddush. Back then, they used to eat with small tables, movable tables that they would move to each person, right? You know those pictures, they have like people reclining on these couches, and they would have a small little table where they would have the food. I actually tried to do a little bit of research. I didn't spend too much time on it, but I tried to do a little bit of research when people started eating on proper tables like we eat on, like a family dining room table. So I saw one website said that in the 16th century. So we know that that's for sure not true, because we have Tosfos from the 12th, 11th, 13th century already talking about eating on tables. So I don't know exact on family tables. So I don't know exactly when they did it. But Medina de Gemara, they would leave the food outside on a small table, already set. And after Kiddush, they would bring the little table in. So the challah would not be on the table. And sure enough, if you look in Maaser Rav, which is the collection of the practices of the Vilna Gaon, it's brought down there that the Gra holds, you don't bring the challah to the table until after Kiddush. You make Kiddush and then you bring challah to the table. But the Balei Tosfos were not happy with this, because the Balei Tosfos were bothered by the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Tes, which says that when a person gets home, so the Malachim escort him home, and if they see that the table is Aruch, so they give him a bracha. Now what does that mean that the table is Aruch? I would have said that an Aruch table means table set. You know, the dishes are there, the forks, the cups. Tosos learned that that means the food is already on the table. So how can the Gemara tell me that you really shouldn't have the challah and the food on the table until after Kiddush, if the Gemara in Shabbos says that when the angel comes to your house, they're supposed to see the Shulchan Aruch? So Tosos answers the question and says, okay, so you set the table outside the room, you make Kiddush, the table's Aruch, the angel sees the table's Aruch, and then when you make Kiddush, after you make Kiddush, they'll bring the table in. But Tosfos writes, that's very nice back then when they had little tables. But now we eat on large tables. We can't bring the dining room table in and out of the room after Kiddush, before Kiddush. Where are you putting the dining room table? So Tosfos says, that's the reason why we started covering the challah. We cover the challah, that way it's as if the food's not there. So we're sort of getting both best of both worlds. The table is set. So when the angels come in, you know, the angels have x-ray vision, I guess. They could see underneath the mapa. They know the table's set, but it's as if there's no food on the table when you make Kiddush. So, as I mentioned, the Gra held not to do that. But the standard practice in Klal Yisrael, I think in most areas of Klal Yisrael, is that the challahs are on the table when you make Kiddush. There are other reasons you might want to do that. For instance, for the Shabbos candles, if you put your Shabbos candles on your Shabbos table to make sure the table doesn't become a bosis. Okay, not for right now. So this is paskened up in Shulchan Aruch that seemingly the challah should be on the table when you make Kiddush, and it should be covered. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, we mentioned this last week, in Mem Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah brings two reasons why we cover the challah. I already told you one, because you're not really supposed to have food on the table when you make Kiddush. What is that? So that might be the same thing as the first response, the first reason given here in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Yerushalmi, the Torah B'Shem the Yerushalmi, that you don't want the bread to be embarrassed. Now, that's what we were taught in Gan by our Ganenets, that you don't want the table to be, the bread to be embarrassed. What does that mean that the bread is embarrassed? So we said last week that that means that it's really, the bracha should really be recited first on the bread. The order of brachos, hamaga esh, hamotzi comes before hagafen. And therefore, you really should be making a bracha on the bread first. It's a disgrace, meaning it's anti, it's non-halachic to make the kiddush first. So therefore, we cover it in order to avoid skipping over the bracha of hamotzi. That's reason number one given in the Mishnah Berurah here. That's the Torah B'Shem Yerushalmi, Rishonim quoted as well. The second reason quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah is because Zecher L'Mon. Shabbos meals commemorate the mon that we received in the Midbar. The mon fell a double portion. That's why we have Lechem Mishnah. A double portion fell on Erev Shabbos. When the mon fell, so the mon had a double covering on it. It had a covering on the bottom and had a covering on the top. First there was a layer of dew, then the mon, and then another layer, which somehow protected it from the elements. So in order to remember that tremendous nes, so we also cover our challah on top and on bottom. These are the two reasons. And there are a bunch of very fascinating nafkamina, which I'm going to run through very quickly. One we already mentioned, which the Mishnah Berurah himself quotes, how long does it need to be covered? If it's Zecher L'Mon, so you should probably keep it covered all the way until you make the hamotzi on it. Because you haven't finished your mon commemoration until after you make the hamotzi. And the truth is, the pinnacle of all of the remembrance of the mon is when you make the hamotzi. So you make the hamotzi, you keep it covered until that time. But if the reason is because of the bracha, that we don't want it to be embarrassed, so then, quote unquote, so then as soon as you've made the hagafen, so that's it. Now there's no reason to cover the bread anymore. You can uncover the bread. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah quotes another nafkamina. What if you make kiddush on challah? This is something that we don't do so often because Baruch Hashem, we live in a world of plenty and most of us usually have grape juice. The only time this would probably happen is if we forgot to buy grape juice and there's a pandemic going around and you can't leave your house and ask a neighbor to borrow. But besides that, you know, most of us don't live in houses in the middle of nowhere where if we forgot grape juice, we're stuck without grape juice. You know, maybe if you live in an area without an Eruv, doesn't usually happen. But let's say, because the halacha is you are able to make kiddush on bread, on the challah. So if you're making kiddush on the challah, so according to the bracha reason, you don't want to go out of order the bracha, so you're covering the challah, absolutely no reason to cover the challah. There's no wine that's, we're not skipping over the challah. We're going right through the challah. But if the reason is because of the months, then we would still need to cover it. Okay, nafkamina number three. Shalashuddas, sudashli sheet. Do you need to cover the challah at shalashuddas? Most of us don't make kiddush. The Rambam brings down, it's if you look in your bencher, you'll probably see by shalashuddas, they print there a Brei Pri Hagafen. But most people do not make a Brei Pri Hagafen or make kiddush at shalashuddas. So at shalashuddas, where there is no Hagafen, so again, is there any reason to cover the challah? So if it's Zecher L'Mon, the truth is the Kaf HaChaim brings this down. The Kaf HaChaim says that you should keep the challah covered at shalashuddas until after you make the hamotzi because Zecher L'Mon. But if you learn like the Yerushalmi that it's only because of the going out of order of the brachos, the busha to the challah that you're making in kiddush first, there's no kiddush at shalashuddas. Okay, nafkamina number four. Very interesting one. Yesh ladun on this one a little bit, but the post.
Can I ask you a question, or you're taking course, questions please, at the end?
Please, please.
The mon fell in the morning.
Correct.
And it didn't fall on Shabbos.
Correct.
So why are you covering the mon Friday night? The mon never fell Friday night. Why are you covering it by Shal Shuddas? It didn't fall by Shal Shuddas. And Shabbos morning, it didn't fall anyway. So what covering the mon about?
So I think what we're doing is that because on Erev Shabbos, a double portion fell in order so that on Shabbos they would have what to eat. So all of our eating on Shabbos is b'schus that extra mon, right? We ate up all of our Friday mon on Friday, and on Shabbos we really wouldn't have had anything to eat. But because, so when you're toasting Friday night and saying, thank God we have food, thanks to the mon. And Shabbos morning, thanks to the mon. Shalashuddas, thanks to the mon. It's very interesting. There's a I think it's a the Bali Tosfos on Torah, that the Bali Tosfos on Torah bring down that they do a whole cheshbon of how much mun had to fall in order to make sure that they would have enough food per person on the Shabbos meals. But I think that's the Indian of David, that we are sort of celebrating the fact that we have food to remember that mun. Okay, so a see-through plastic cover. That's nafkamina number 4. Very interesting discussion the poskim have. You know, can you leave it in the plastic bag? And you have like the plastic Ziploc. The challahs are in the plastic Ziploc. Is that considered covering the challah? So if it's a brachos issue, so the poskim want to suggest that if it's still visible, it's very hard to say, oh, is there any bread here? Nope. Okay. What's the next bracha? Hagafen. Let's move on to the hagafen. What do you mean, is there any bread here? You can see it. It's see-through. But if it's a covering, if it's just to have it covered because of the mun, so the post can say, maybe the plastic bag is enough because it is lamais. It's protected. It's covered. Okay. We're moving on. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, and it goes Moshe, he was asked about at a simcha, or in a yeshiva, in an event where one person's making kiddush for the crowd. Does every person need to cover their challah, or only the mavarich? So Rav Moshe felt that it's pashut that everybody should cover their challah. He thought that in terms of the mun, seemingly everybody should be commemorating the mun. Everyone's eating. And in terms of the bracha, he thought that even if you're not making kiddush, but there's a kiddush being made, and it's Shomei HaKa'onah, so it's Kiyu you're making kiddush. So he thought that for sure everything should be covered. That's what he writes in the Tshuva. But Shlomo Zalman was Mesupik in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, which brings Pesachim of Shlomo Zalman. So he quotes there that Shlomo Zalman was Mesupik about this. He thought, first of all, maybe the whole bracha issue is only an issue for the one making the bracha. There's one guy sitting at a head table. He's making a bracha. So it's not appropriate for him to make a hagafen when the bread is exposed in front of him, because he should really be making hamotzi. But I'm sitting at a table on the other side of the hall. What does it make a difference if my challah is uncovered? I'm not the one making the hagafen. My bread isn't getting embarrassed. No one's skipping over him. It's the other side of the room where something's going on. He also thought that it could be that one person covering their challah was enough of a hat tip to the mun. We're just trying to acknowledge the fact that we were thankful that we got mun. So when each person needs to say thank you? As long as one person is making a statement, a declaration, that should be enough for everybody at the Suda. So he thought, I don't know, maybe this is America versus Eretz Yisrael. He writes there that the minog is to be mako. So I don't know, I teach in yeshiva for Americans. So I guess I'm biased, but everywhere I go, I always see people covering their challahs. People who don't, it's usually because they forget. But that's what Shlomo Zalman writes. He writes, the minog is to be made. All right, there's one last interesting issue which Shlomo Zalman brings up, and this is quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and that is, what about mizonos items? Should those also be covered? If there's a kiddush, should they be covering everything at the kiddush, or it's really just the bread? So here he brings down also that he thought that you could be mako. The bracha issue, again, if you're the actual mekadesh, so mizonos also comes before Brei Pri Hagafen. So he writes in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that at a kiddush, this is going to be Shlomo Zalman L'shitaso, that only the one making the bracha needs to cover. And therefore, he argued that the mizonos needs to be covered by the mekadesh, by the one making the kiddush. But everyone else does not need to cover their rugalach or their crackers. But l'chor, if you held like Rav Moshe would seemingly hold that you need to cover all of the mizonos items at the kiddush, because mizonos comes before agafen. So according to that Tom, I remember in yeshiva in America that they always, in YU, I believe Rav Soloveitchik held very strongly that the mizonos should be covered as well. So that was always the minhag in the yeshiva. When we were at kiddushes, they always covered everything. Salads, they covered everything, not even just mizonos items. He thought that either because of the mun, or the Gemara has another reason of Yakrid the Shapsa. So this is a little bit of a discussion, and Rav Shlomo Zalman again is brought down in Shmiras Shabbos Kachasa that for sure the one making the kiddush should cover the mezonos items. Other people, so he thought that there was room to be mekum. Okay, so that is in terms of covering the challah. But I could tell you sometimes, you know, it might happen at the house that we start to make kiddush and someone realizes like, oh, there's only one challah on the table. Why is there only one challah on the table? This we talked about this in Hilchos Shabbos, in our Hilchos Shabbos Bishul, that you're allowed to put the challah on the blech in order to get, or on top of a pot, in order to get the bottom nice and toasty. So usually we've got one challah sitting on the blech toasting, and the other one is sitting on the table, and a lot of times we'll start kiddush and realize that, oh, we forgot the other. So someone will jump up from the table to go get the other challah. It's okay, you don't need the challah there. We saw that the gra held, you shouldn't have the challah there. So, but if it is there, it should be covered. Okay, moving on to Sif Yud in the Shulchan Aruch. Mikadesh al kos mole yayin. You make kiddush on a full glass of wine. Shelo ye pogum, and it shouldn't be pogum. What does pogum mean? Pogum means that it was drunken from before. If someone takes a drink out of the kos, so we would call that gross, disgusting. Someone drank from it already. I don't want to drink from it. But it has the halachic definition as well. That's called a kos pogum. They weren't so concerned in the times of the Gemara if one person drank from the cup for another person to drink from it. They weren't so concerned about that. That didn't gross them out. But that was still al pi halacha considered pogum. Okay. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Mekadesh al kos mole yayin, shlo ye pogum, v'ton kol ma sheton kos shel birchas hamazon. And we require all the halachos that we generally require by a kos of birchas hamazon. So let's figure out what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. So first of all, the kiddush cup. So it needs to be full. Now, what does that mean? It needs to be full. It says here, mikadesh al kos male yayin, male kos male. So what does that mean? Full. So I can tell you, when I first got married, and I was, my father-in-law davens very early. He always davens vasikim, very early minyan. So he comes home, he makes kiddush. Then I go to the regular minyan, and then I came back. So I often would be the one making kiddush at the Shabbos meal, because my father already made kiddush. So I was making kiddush. So I would fill the cup up, not to the tippy-tippy top. I would fill it up a drop below the tippy top. My mother-in-law would always say, to the top, to the top. So I didn't want to get in a fight with my mother-in-law, right, in the beginning of our marriage. So I filled it up to the top. And then I cringed as I made kiddush, and the wine spilled over my fingers and landed on my hand and on my plate. So I didn't want to quote to her from Rav Shlomo Zalman, but the Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Pei Gimel, back in Chelek Beis, Kuf Pei Gimel, where he discusses Birchas HaMazon, he writes there that it should be full to the top, mamish to the top. Now, if you ever notice about wine, I think it's called surface tension. Wine has a greater surface tension than water. So water, when you fill it up to the top, it immediately spills over. But wine, it doesn't spill right away. It makes almost like a little kippah on top of the cup. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should go until it's mamish about to spill over. But then the Shulchan Aruch writes, but there are those who say it doesn't need to be that full. And Shlomo Zalman Orbach also writes that it doesn't need to be that full. He brings a raya that from the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere that we pass that the Shulchan Aruch really holds, you know, it doesn't need to be that full. And that's what Chazal meant when they said kos mole. It doesn't mean to the tippy tippy top so it spills. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Shlomo Zalman also writes that it's not normal to fill a cup like that. Who drinks a cup like that, right? Once in a while, you fill your coffee too much, and you have to sit there and slurp it before, you know, it spills and burns you. That's not kabbalah to the cup to fill to the top that it's going to spill all over the place. So full, it should be full. But full, again, if you want to hold like that first day, if you want to hold like my mother-in-law, so then you fill it all the way to the tippy-tippy top. But there's another day in the Shulchan Aruch for Shlomo Zalman. You don't have to fill to the tippy-tippy top. Right below the tippy top is also fine. The truth is that it's all fine. This is lechatchila. B'di'eved, if you don't have a full cup, it's fine. I remember once being at a suda with Rebelsky from Yerushalayim, and we wanted to bench on a kos, and there was no kiddush wine left. And he's like, wait a minute, there's no kiddush wine. You know, give me the bottle. And he poured into a becher, and there was this much kiddush wine. said, it's fine. Shulchan Aruch writes, as long as there's a revius, revius is somewhere between 3.5 fluid ounces for the Americans in the room, to four or five, Chazon Ish says 5 fluid ounces. I think it's 86 milliliters, if I remember from Pesach, for the people on the metric system. 86 milliliters is the more Mekel Shita. 150, I think, is the more Machmir Shita. We're not talking about a tremendous amount of wine. So Bidyaved, first of all, if you don't have a full, if that's you can't fill up the cup, you could first of all switch to a smaller cup. Right? You could switch to a smaller cup. That's the famous mice they have with the Chavetz Chaim's Kiddush cup. The Chavetz Chaim's Kiddush cup, Rav Mendel Zaks had it in Washington Heights. Rav Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chavetz Chaim. He was in Radin with the Chavetz Chaim. He was a son-in-law. And then he came to America and he went to Washington Heights and he became the Bochen in Yeshiva University's Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. He was the Bochen. And they say he used to just like sit in an office, learn all day, and he would come and give bechinas to people. There's a maisa that they say, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard it from people, that he did the final edit of the Mishneh Berurah in the MTA High School building in Washington Heights. It was where he did the final edit of the Mishneh Berurah before it went to press. But be that as it may, Rav Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, and he has, and he's not alive anymore, his children actually, one of his sons just passed away a couple of years ago, Rav Hillel Zaks in Kiryat Sefer. So, but they had in the family the Chofetz Chaim's own Kiddush cup. And they say it was a very, very small cup. Very small cup. It was not the more Machmir Shitas in terms of being big enough. It was a very small cup. So the first thing you can do if you don't have a full cup is that you pour it into a smaller cup. The other option is that you could just fill a cup up halfway. It's fine. It's still considered a kos. So if you don't have enough, as long as you have a revius, which again is somewhere between 86 and 150 milliliters, that's fine. The Mishneh Berurah here also in Mem Gimel, when he says shlo yeh pogum, so he defines what that means. That's if someone drank from the wine. But there is a way to fix. There is a way to, hold on, I see a comment here. Rav Meir Simcha Auerbach told me, as much as you'll fill a cup of tea, my Rosh Yeshiva said, as much as a kid would say is considered full. I mean, that's how high you have to fill it. That's what you're saying, Baruch Yosef? Baruch Yosef is saying that Rav Meir Simcha Auerbach told him, that was B'Shem.
Yes, yes.
B'Shem or Shlomo
Zalman? B'Shem. No, I don't think it was B'Shem or Shlomo Zalman. That's the getter he gave me.
The getter he gave is the amount that you fill a teacup, meaning nobody fills a teacup all the way to the tippy top.
Yeah.
Or the amount that a child would say, yeah, that's a full cup. Okay, very good. That's a good getter.
I'm pretty sure in the biography of the Chofetz Chaim, it says that he would often make Kiddush on bread. If they had plenty of wine, I'm sure maybe his cup would also be bigger.
So you say maybe the reason that is, you say maybe because they had so little wine, he went out of his way to get a small cup. So that way when he had wine, he could fill it up.
It says he often made on bread. It said he often made Kiddush on bread.
That's a very interesting suggestion. We know that the Aruch HaShulchan writes, you know, I remember when I was in yeshiva, I went to a relative in Eretz Yisrael for a meal, and we only had 3 people at the table, and he poured a cup, and he was making Kiddush. He was making, doing benching on a kos. So I remember I was, you know, 18 years old, and I said to him, 17, and I said to him, like, you know, that's a big, you know, loud mouth. And I was like, what are you making? What are you benching on 3? Only 10. So he said, what are you talking about? Shulchan Aruch says you do it with 3. The Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to bench with 3 people with a kos. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, the reason that many people are not makbid to bench with 3 people on a kos is because they pashut didn't have wine. He said that we don't have wine, so that's why we don't. So that's why there are those who say nowadays where we have wine, so a person should. If a person has wine, a person has grape juice. Okay, anyway, going back to our discussion. So pogum is if the wine was drank in from. There is a way to fix it, and that is to pour some fresh wine into the cup. If fresh wine is poured into the cup, so that's what you see right away. Pogum is not about germs or anything like that. If you add wine or even a little bit of water to the cup, so that is mitaking the pogum of it. So what exactly does that mean, pogum is? Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, that's in terms of the cup itself and filling up the cup. The Shulchan Aruch also added that you should Ta'un kol mashaton koshel birchas hamazon. We treat it with the same halachos of as a cup of birchas hamazon. That's koshel bracha. So if you look in Kuf Pei Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch in birchas hamazon, so he tells you some of the halachos of what does that mean, a koshel bracha. What are some of the special halachos of a koshel bracha? Now I'll point out that basically all of these, I think every single one, is only lechatchila, meaning b'di'eved, none of this is going to be ma'akev kiddush. But these are all things that are considered a maila. So let's run through a few of them. So for instance, the cup itself is supposed to be whole. You're not supposed to have a chip in it or a crack in the kiddush cup. Mishnah Berurah writes explicitly that b'di'eved, it's not ma'akev. If you have a crack in the cup, you have a sedek in the cup, you could still do it. You could still use it. It's a famous discussion between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman about using a plastic cups, chad pami cups, throwaway cups. Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that you can't use that, certainly not lechachila, for a kiddush, because it's not really a kli. It's not koshel bracha. It's not really a kli, because you throw it away. Shlomo Zalman and Rav Vadya said, what are you talking about? People use plastic cups all the time. And there are those who suggest that you have to look at the dates on the tshuvos. Most tshuvos very early. So that back then it could be that the cups were very, very flimsy and they were really very junky and they would be thrown away. You know, nowadays I see that, you know, when I go to the United States and I'm by my parents, I see that the plastic cups are really, they're nice and they're firm and they're serious plastic cups. You know, I buy them here in the Makolet and I feel like the water just like, you know, goes right through the walls. They're very, very flimsy. So it could be that there's a discussion. If this is something that you wouldn't, you know, I remember whenever my wife was always mechabed her grandmother, whenever my grandmother came, even if we were all eating with, you know, plastic silverware or plastic plates, let's say, for a barbecue, she always gave them and she always gives her parents, you know, silverware and the regular, you know, not china, what's it called, you know, stoneware. She gives them real dishes. So that's what Moshe says. If it's something you wouldn't give a chashuv person, you shouldn't be using it for kiddush. So some people, you know, they put two cups. Kilu, like putting two plastic cups, makes it more chashuv. So I don't know if it makes it more chashuv. I imagine if you're not going to give it to someone out of kavod, you're not going to say, oh, wait a second, let me give you two cups. Then it's more mechubit to give it to them. So this might be a little bit dependent on lefi hamakom, lefi hazman. Another halach is it needs to be clean. What does that mean, it needs to be clean? Exactly what I said, it needs to be clean. Now I'm saying it that way purposely because a lot of people say a koshel bracha needs to be rinsed out. They have a perfectly clean cup and they go to the sink and they wash it out again. Now the hadacha mi bifnim mi bachutz. So the reason they do that, either they're chassidish and there's zohars about this, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes, the zohar says you should always do hadacha whether the kosh is clean or not. But that's not what the Mishnah Berurah holds. Mishnah Berurah writes, Chafetz Chaim writes, that if the cup is clean, it doesn't need to be washed out. The din is that we wash it out if it's not clean. So if you're not sure, so I get here also that also the Sephardic practice is also to clean it out no matter what. Clean it out no matter what, even if it's clean, probably also I'll pee the Zohar. Okay.
What about drying the kosher? Some people mark that it should be wet when they use it. Some people mark that it should be dry.
Yeah, some people dry it. I thought people, yeah. Okay. Generally, I think we assume it could be, you know, I can give a very firm explanation. There are some people that are very nervous that if they make kiddush on grape juice, the grape juices that we have in the market today are watered down just to the point that they're still kosher for kiddush. So they don't want any extra water. I know some people are very mocked, but they won't add, you know, if your cup is not full, you can always add a little water to the wine. Right, there's even the wines back then, they had a din. You had to, if you drank it chai, it wouldn't be considered a drink because it was too strong. That's a little bit of a discussion about adding water to it. Okay, just going on a couple of other halachos. It's brought down the Shulchan Aruch. You prick it up with two hands and then you transfer it to your right hand and you hold it in your right hand. All different discussions about keeping it on your palm, just on one hand, not holding it with another hand, curling your fingers up. They're all brought down in the Mishnah Berurah and Kuf Pei Gimel. A lot of them are all pisod. That's the Shlach quotes, the cup, if you can see properly here. You cup your fingers like this. This discussion is a lefty. Should he do it in his left hand? Maybe anyway, it should be with the right hand. But again, you can look in Kuf Pei Gimel. These are all the different halachos. And as I mentioned, these are all the mitzvah min hamufchar, lichat chilas. They're certainly not ma'akev. But that's what it's brought down. The cup should be whole. The cup should be washed out or at least clean. The cup should, you should hold the cup with one hand. It should be elevated a tefach off the table. Mishnah Berurah says that that's either so that people who are being yotzei can see the cup that they're being yotzei with, or to be mekayim the pasuk of Kos Yeshuas Essa, to raise up the cup. As I mentioned, the palm of the hand. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to when he says, Ta'un kol masha ta'un koshal berchas amazon. And if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, he quotes a few of them, koshalem, mudach hetev, well cleaned out. And he says, that's why I feel comfortable saying, ayin kuf pei gimel. That's what the Mishnah Berurah here says. He says, go look in kuf pei gimel if you want to see all the different halachos of the kos. Okay, the big question is Sif Yud. So we started reading it. Mikadesh al kos malayayin, we said, picking up in the middle. V'omer vayechulu mu'umad. You say vayechulu standing. V'achar kach, you say brei priyagafen, and then kiddush. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything about sitting. Even though he says you stand for vayechulu, and then you say the rest, he didn't say anything about sitting. So most assume that the Shulchan Aruch is holding that you stand for kiddush. That's what I said. This is the big question. Stand or sit. Let's get a quick, if I had prepared well for this year, there's apparently some way to set up, like you can, like right now up on your screen comes a question and everybody votes and then I tell you the results, but I don't really know how to do that. There is some option to do that with Zoom. But anyway, we'll do a quick, you can do a digital raise of hand or an actual raise of hand. How many people here stand for the entire kiddush Friday night? How many people stand for the entire Kiddush Friday night? Wow. Okay. A lot. Okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Let's figure out, you'll see a second in the Ramah. The Ramah is the one who starts talking about sitting. So let's first of all just understand what are the issues. What are the tzadim? Awesome. What are the tzadim here? Why would a person stand? Why would a person sit? So the Rishonim write, the Kolbo, one of the late Ashkenazic Rishonim, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef. He says the reason to sit is pashut, because ain kiddush el makom suda. It needs to be makom suda. What gives a kfiyas to the fact that it's a suda? It's not a suda when everyone's standing around. Suda is when you're sitting down. That means you're having a suda. That's what he brings down. In the Gra adds also, if you want to be motzi other people, you can't be motzi someone unless there's some type of connection point. So when I sit and you sit, so it's clear that I'm being motzi you, you're being yotze with me. But if I'm sitting and you're standing, or I'm standing and you're standing over there on the other side of the room, what unites us? So therefore, he says that you need a kfiyas in order to be motzi someone. So there's two reasons to sit. Reason number one, to give it a status of a suda. And number two, to be able to be motzi other people. What's the reason to stand? The reason to stand, okay, child number two here. Reason to stand is because we want to honor the king. We're welcoming the angels. That's quicker. We're welcoming in the angels. We're welcoming the Shabbos queen, the Shabbos king, the Rambam calls it. So we want to stand out of the covet. Vayechulu, also we know as Eidus. We stood in shul for Vayechulu. So we stand again. It's Eidus. There's reasons to stand. Okay, so how do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch, as we said, the Shulchan Aruch says, you stand. And this is the Sephardic practice. Rav Adja quotes like this, that you stand. Rav Adja writes to make sure that when you drink, though, that you should sit. He says that for the actual drinking, you should sit down. I think I've been by Hasidim that I think they stand even when they drink as well. They make the Kiddush standing and they drink standing. The Beis Yosef, what about the question of the Beis Yosef says that he thinks that if everyone's standing around the table, that's enough of a kfiyas also. Granted, sitting down is more of a kfiyas, but it's obvious if everyone's standing around the table, it's obvious that we're here for a suda. I'm being motzi, you're being motzi me, in terms of the Gra's reason, in terms of Kiddush Makom Suda. We're all here, we're standing around the table. Mishnah Berurah points out that if you hold, like the Shulchan Aruch, you have to make sure that everyone's standing around the table. Meaning, don't say, the wife can't be in the kitchen cutting up the salad, and the guy's like, okay, we're making kiddush. She's like, okay, I hear you. That's not okay. She needs to be standing by the table, because it's true that it's okay to be standing, and we don't have to all be formally sitting if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch, but you still need to have that kfiyas, and that kfiyas comes from everyone being around the table. So that's the view of the Shulchan Aruch. So I think only like two or three people here said that looks like most of the people here stand. So now let me see the hands. Who sits for Kiddush? One person, that's it? Wow, okay. I also sit for Kiddush. But, so Jonah, when do you sit for Kiddush? At what point?
You sit the whole time.
Also for Vayechulu. Wow, okay. I wasn't expecting that. Okay, so if you take a look in the Ramah, I sit for the bracha, for the Brei Pri Hagafen, and then for the second bracha as well. But I stand for all of Vayechulu. So take a look at the Ramah now. Says the Ramah like this. V'yochol lamod b'shasa kiddush. You can if you want. V'yoser tov leishev. It's better to sit. Sounds like what Jonah does. It's better to sit. You should sit for kiddush. And then he says, v'noagin leishev af b'shosh omer v'yechulu. And the minog is to sit even for v'yechulu, like the gantrails. But it's good to stand at the very beginning. Meaning, when you say Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim, which, if you look at the Rosh Tevos, the first letter of Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it's Nirmas Hashem's name. So therefore you should stand for that. So I had not seen that really until I got married. That's what my in-laws do. My father-in-law, he stands for Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim V'Ha'aretz, and then everybody sits down. That's their minhag, but that's the Ramah's minhag. My own personal minhag, my own family's minhag, my father's minhag, grandfather's minhag was to stand for Vayechulu and to then sit for the Brei Pri Hagafen. But anyway, that's quoted by the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, by the way. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes like that to stand until the bracha, then to sit for the bracha. So we basically have two basic approaches with a few different nuances. What about the day kiddush? The Ramah adds in here that you should look at the Neiros in the beginning of kiddush. You should look at the Neiros. He quotes here the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara talks about refuah, that a person gets some type of refuah. There's not clear in the Gemara, it says it's from the Kiddush. It sounds like it's from the wine, but the Ramah learns it, quoting from the Ma'aril, that has to do with looking at the candles. And when you're making Kiddush, he says to look at the coast itself. Now, the reason why you look at the coast during Kiddush itself, that's just for Kavana. That's supposed to be looking around the room. Right? I don't know if you've ever noticed, sometimes they're Chazanim, like while they're davening from the Amid, you know, they're looking all over. I don't know if they're looking, they want to see like if everyone's impressed with their davening. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but you're supposed to stay focused. So in Kiddush as well, you're supposed to look at the coast in order to stay focused on what you're doing. What about the day Kiddush? So the day Kiddush, which is interesting, the Kiddush during the day we call Kiddusha Rabbah, but it's a little bit of a Lashon Sagi, it's a little bit of a euphemism, or I don't know if that's the right word. It's a little bit of a Sagi, Lashon Sagi Nar, because it's called Kiddusha Rabbah dafka because it's less important. You know, we're giving it some status, even though it's really less important, the Kiddusha Rabbah. So all the poskim basically write that it's best to sit. I know I just said that. Now no one's going to want to raise their hand, but don't worry, there's shittas that you should stand. Anyone here stand for the daytime Kiddush? Okay. Hasidish backgrounds? Yes. A little bit. Uh-huh. Okay. So in general, the poskim say that you should sit. Why? Because what was the reason to stand? You know, we're greeting the king. We're not greeting the king anymore. We're already 12 hours into this whole thing. We're already 15 hours into Shabbos. We're not greeting the king. And the other reasons of Kiddush Makom Suda and the Kfiyos, so the Birkei Yosef writes that even the Arizal, Birkei Yosef brings down that even the Arizal sat during the daytime Kiddush. But he does quote that Rav Chaim Vital, Arizal's Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital brings down that there are those who say that all kiddushes should be said standing. So there is what those who have the practice should certainly continue their practice. one place where this whole question of sitting versus standing comes up, where there isn't really a kfias, and it is a little bit tricky, is if you have a shul kiddush. You know, when you have a shul kiddush, I don't know, growing up in the States, the shul kiddush, you know, is outside in the parking lot of the shul, and there are lots of people, and everyone's taking food, everyone's milling around, and the rabbi comes out, and he makes a kiddush, and half the people don't hear him, and he's standing on one corner, no one knows where the sound is coming from. So this really raises this question of, is this good? Is this a kfias? Are people being yotzei with that? It's really ideal to be seated, certainly when you have a lot of people in it and the kfias is not clear. When it's your family and everyone's standing around the table, so I hear. Okay, going back, we're going to skip Yud Aleph for now. We'll come back to Yud Aleph. Let's take a look at Yud Beis. Also, if you've never seen this halacha inside, you might be surprised by this. If you've seen it at people's houses, you might just think that they're strange. You don't realize that it's explicit in the Ramah. Take a look at what it says in Halacha Yud Beis, in Sif Yud Beis. Achar shekidesh al hakos, notel yodav mevarech al netilas yadayim. After kiddush, wash your hands, make hamotzi. V'im notel yodav kodem kiddush, but if you washed your hands before kiddush, remember I did that once. Once, I don't know, I wasn't thinking. I walked over to the sink, washed my hands, made a bracha al netilas yadayim, and then realized I hadn't made kiddush yet. So my family was all like laughing at me and like, you know, what do you do now? So it's explicit in Shulchan Aruch what you do. If you're not yod of kodem kiddush, so goli daite derif to chavivale, you're obviously showing that you really wanted to make kiddush on the bread. So don't make kiddush on the ayin, make kiddush on the bread. I did not do that. Okay, but that's what it says. Says the Ramah, v'yesh omrim d'lechadchila yesh litzol yod of kodem kiddush ulekadesh al ayin. Says the Ramah, there are those who say that l'chadchila, you should wash, make your al netilas yadayim, and then make kiddush on yayim. Anyone do that? Anyone do that? Yeah, Avi, you do that.
I think it's a yekki minhag.
Yes, yekish. Strasbourg was in Germany for a very long time, no? Strasbourg was in Germany for a while, no? Wait, long time ago, medieval ages. Yeah, it was part of Germany. So Avi's from Strasbourg, so... And the family's been there since the medieval ages, yeah? I don't know. So, okay. So their minog is that they wash. So you wash and you make al netilas sedaim and then you make kiddush. So everybody's quiet during kiddush. Supposed to be. So that's the minog. I think I once ate by Rav Neuberger in Bergenfield, New Jersey. I believe he does the same thing. I believe if I remember correctly that they washed before, if I remember correctly. But that's what's brought down in the Ramah. Now in the Mishnah Berurah, he says that a lot of people don't have that minhag. He says here in the Mishnah Berurah in Samach Beis, he says, Kama achronim right, that it's better not to do it that way, but rather to follow the Shulchan Aruch. What was the Svara? The Svara of the Ramah is that since sometimes you make kiddush on challah, so there's going to be this inconsistency. When you're making kiddush on challah, so you wash first and then you do kiddush. And when you're making kiddush on wine, you wash afterwards. We don't want 1 week this way, 1 week that way. And therefore, let's just make it across the board. You always do washing before kiddush. That's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests was the svara of the Ramah. If that's true, and I understand nowadays where we basically never make kiddush on bread, so they don't have to worry about there being an inconsistency. So it's okay to wash in regular fashion. I remember for many summers, I'm embarrassed to say that I might have done it because maybe I was being too much of a maverick. So I shouldn't admit that I did it. And the truth is, I don't remember if I did it. I remember toying with it. Maybe my wife might have rejected it because she thought it was too strange. But I remember if you've ever been like in a summer camp, so or any mass, you know, Shabbaton. So as soon as they're done with kiddush, there's a mad rush to wash. And if you're in a place in like a summer camp where there's, you know, 800 kids and there's like five places to wash, so now you can wait for 20 minutes before you get to eat the suda. So, and you know, we had little kids, we wanted to eat the suda quickly, get out of there. So I remember I said, oh, let's just do what the Ramah says. You know, kedai the Ramah to be somechan the Ramah. Let's wash, make an al netilas yadayim. We'll come to the table, we'll make Kiddush, and then we can make Hamotzi right away, and everyone's running and tripping over each other to go wash, and ha, 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 we got the Ramah, we get the last laugh, we get to eat our, you know, our challah while everyone else is trying to figure out to wash. So I don't know, I'm not so sure that that's the right thing to do, just, you know, just in the summer to avoid the problem, but certainly if you are forgetful like me, and you once, and you wash, and you forget to make Kiddush, so you don't have to make a whole big deal about it, you don't have to make Kiddush on the bread, you can say the Kiddush, and then go on to the Hamotzi. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Mirtz Hashem, next week we have to speak about how much you should drink, what's the amount of drinking, and we'll definitely finish up Reish Ayin Aleph. Reish Ayin Beis, we're not going to do every single detail in it, but I do want to talk about grape juice as opposed to wine, mevushal wine as opposed to non-mevushal wine, and also talk about alcohol, like schnapps, making kiddush on schnapps or making kiddush on things that are not officially wine. So we'll talk about that as well. Okay, great to see everyone. Everyone should be well.
I think it's definitely better to do what you did and than waiting 20 minutes to wash, because it's supposed to be miyad.
Right. You're supposed to start the suda already. After you're supposed to kiddush.
Did anyone argue with that? Does anyone say it's ma'akev not to?
It's definitely not ma'akev. The question is just, you know, if the whole idea behind this was to create some type of consistent practice, so, you know, but I think we did it. I just don't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And also, regarding the full coast being mole, the Ramah, thinking in Birchas Hamazon, says that mole are called gedosov.
So that's what he said here. I'll pull it up here. That's what he says. He says that. But then, if you look right afterwards, hold on, let me start here. Shulchan Aruch, Archayim. Just pulling it up on my screen here. Kuf Pe Gimel. So he says, where is it here? Tahar Docha. Here we go. Why am I not finding it here? Kuf Pe Gimel. I don't see it here right now. I believe he brings two deus about it. Do you have it in front of you there? Do you know where it is?
I don't have a base. I've got a gimel, not base.
What was that?
I don't have a base. I've got a gimel.
Okay. Give me one more second here.
They probably have a copy in the Strasbourg base managers.
I'm sure they do. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's the Mishnah Berurah. In the Ramah, he writes. The Koshel Bracha Yimalenu Shemole Al Kol Gidosov. That's what he writes. Then in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, V'Af Sharogel Lishpoch Ktsas. And even though it's going to spill a little bit, V'Yesh She'enu Ma'ono So Kol Kach Mitam Zeh. There are those for this reason it's spilling that they don't fill it this much. V'Afilu Hachi Shemole Olav. But that's still considered Shemole. That's still considered Mole. And then he writes.
So